discussed previously when we met with some of the people around this table, leaders of labor as well. It goes without saying that the effect of a strike, even a selective strike like this, is very critical at this time. The reason it's critical, of course, is that the economy is moving upward. Anything that can take any of the steam out of it has a very much greater effect than would normally be the case when it's moving along a level path. I understand that, and of course, the numbers will vary, the 250,000 is a picture in the New York Times today. It's a wheel along the side of a little town of Nebraska and so forth and so on. Of course, that's quite symbolic. It has an enormous effect on public attitude. So, without getting into the merits on either side, that's a subject which must be negotiated between the parties. And I realize that every dispute besides is going to have to be represented in many difficult factors after you are done. I think we should get to realize these things. One, we believe in collective bargaining. We believe that the railroad industry's future, that its future will be better served by being basically in the private sector rather than in the public sector. By that I mean that we believe in a strong American railroad system, with a strong free labor union, and a strong free management. The collective bargaining, however, has to be really pursued in such an industry even more than is the case in others because of the dramatic impact it has all over the nation. You can have a strike in some industries and it doesn't make all that much difference. It's just one of the costs, and it's a cost worth paying of the free enterprise system. We understand that. The railroad industry is different. That's why the railroad industry is treated differently from the law. It's a law which many think now is not adequate. But the effect of this strike at this time is that the effect of a strike in this industry, I think, in terms of this industry and the way the nation is looking at it, is particularly bad at this time. I personally don't think anything could be worse for the country, or worse for unions, railroad unions, or worse for management, than to have the public reaction to stoppages, strikes, etc., and the railroad union leading to a massive government intervention into this industry. That's what I don't want to see happen. I know that at times the management may say, gee, if the government get in here and fix this, and that'll be fine, that's a good temporary answer. And sometimes it'll be the other side of the coin and later say, well, we wish the government get in here and settle this. What I'm looking at is a bigger question. And there's a growing sentiment in this country that to the effect of, well, maybe the railroad industry just can't operate in private sector. Maybe we ought to move on to a new approach. I personally do not support that view. I don't believe that's a good thing for anybody concerned. That's why we're trying to work with this industry, work with the management and with labor in every way that we can to strengthen it, to make it a strong, healthy, positive force in our country. And so, under these circumstances, it seems to me that those who sit around the bargaining table, those in the management side, have an obligation to be bigger than your, in the case of the union, your obligations to your members, and also in the case of management, the obligation to your stockholders. Don't get me wrong. I know what the game is here. You've got to represent your constituents, just as a politician must represent his constituents, or he isn't going to be it. So you've got to represent your management. Management's got to speak for its stockholders. The labor leaders have got to speak to their union members for them. But I think looking to their interests, that here the national interest and your interest is the same, and here the national interest and your interest, I think, would be served, very well served at this critical time. to find a way to bring these stoppages to a halt on an equitable basis so that this industry can then continue to move forward with the rest of the economy, and so that the rest of the economy can move forward without having what happens in this industry affect. I guess I would conclude by saying that it's so easy in this country at this time, you know, for the people to receive goods for their own profits. So it's so easy to look over from there. Since gee, it's that, since it weren't for that railroad strike and so forth, everything would be fine. Well, it isn't quite that way either. We know that that's not fair. But on the other hand, we must realize that this sentiment exists in America. We must realize that the railroad industry has troubles. We know this. We talked about it, Charlie, the last night. We all agree that it has troubles. The management's in troubles. But we also all know that what was really encouraging to me is that I didn't find anybody going to get out of it. Now, that means that the management side and the labor side, that we still believe in it. I mean, I remember all the unit leaders told me that, and all the management leaders told me that. And therefore, if you've got faith in it, and I just want to see it go forward. I've seen, like you said, and I know they're pretty, some of them, I mean, you can talk about these government-operated rail lines in foreign countries, and some of them pretty well, and so forth. I've seen where that leads in most foreign countries. This is for us. I think it's a good thing. It isn't a good thing for anybody concerned. We just don't want it. On the other hand, I would have to say that I can see the public sentiment developing. And if this thing goes on, if it appears this is an irresponsible industry, unable to handle its own affairs, there is going to be a massive public reaction. There's going to be a congressional reaction. And then I think things could happen that frankly none of us would want. None of you would want. None of us would want. So I would say, first, if you would consider the merits here, try to work it out on that. We believe in free collective bargaining. We're just trying to arm our interest to interfere with your bargaining process. But second, in bargaining for your own interest, remember, this industry at the present time is being watched by the whole country. It may watch, but in Congress, actually by this administration, and that it seems to me that if this thing is not settled, that we have to we again go down the dreary road of what's the government going to do? That road may lead to some very bad consequences for everybody concerned on this one. That's what I really feel strongly about, and I hope that all of you would consider that. I know that there's you're kind of the, what we call, statesman of the industry, both on the labor side, and I know that you will be as reasonable as you can, but I do not think you should be here without my telling you, based on my political evaluation, my evaluation of this economy, the evaluation of the problems in this country, how critical I think this time is. Even though this is peripheral, even though it is selective, it is having a massive effect. I come back to the point. Just one nation in a picture of a lot of wheat on this side of the road just has an enormous
amount. You know, Mr. President, that wheat's been the
best. He probably piled up every year in Santa Barbara.
I can go back and inspect it
every year. You see the trouble is showing. That's what I know that. I saw the town there and the rest. And now it's part of us, but it shows you that the attitude that begins to develop. It's not, it hasn't been quite like this.
It's been every day. I've got pictures of every harvest. That's the first part.
Yeah.
I can show you in Illinois.
Yeah,
I can show you in Illinois for a grain stayed on the streets all the winter long. I mean, you've got pictures of it.
Well, we are not correct. That just showed you that's part of the way the game is working. But that does indicate a deeper problem. The country. They don't do it unless they figure that this is a vulnerable thing. So we'll appreciate what you do.
I know we got a responsibility, and I'd like to say one thing. I know Mr. Hill's got a job to do the same thing, and I don't hold it against him. But any time that you've got a committee the size of Mr. Hill's, you got trouble. You couldn't get a three on one time to pay it for it. you got to go back. I've never in all my dealings in the labor field ever been able to settle anything with a committee. You always settle them with a room with a meeting of some individual and he agrees to it and then they say this is it. And I don't think, I'll be frank, with all due respect to Mr. Hill, I don't think we'll ever settle as long as you've got to settle with that large committee. I think if the presidents would take an interest in their industry, as they should, and on a committee of presidents, I think we'd settle it in 3 hours.
And Charlie, you have a committee also, I see.
You don't see my committee here, don't see your committee here. When it gets down to a point like this, I think the committee's all right to write up agreements. I think the committee's all right to do the groundwork. But when it gets down to what you people have just told me, it's too big for a committee to have and too important for a committee to have. Now, the presidents and those investors don't think enough of their investors. To get 3 hours time to get this settled, there's something wrong. I say,
we've got negotiations settled 3 hours, established for 2:30 this afternoon. The treasurer's called to the department for that purpose, so we can get out of that sure, and go to work.
But can I say something, Jim, Mr. President, people in this industry really appreciate the efforts that your folks here, like Bill Usry and Jim Hyson, make bring these parties together. Perhaps the Governor Bolton could get an eye at his whole Miss Fielder kept up all night one night by the Department of Labor as the way he works.
That's just one night. We've been up several nights.
He and I resigned the next day from the labor end of the business. But Charlie is wrong if he thinks that the presidents of these railroads are not terribly close to the problem. They're all sitting over at my office right now, as a matter of fact. Number one, I am on the agenda, and we've had this problem. We've had 2 or 3 special meetings since this strike began. This is just absolutely number one on the list. And while Jack's operation may look cumbersome, the fact is they're all in very direct communication with their business. This is just item number one for everybody. There's no problem about that. But our difficulty is, you know, we're not fighting for money. We're fighting for workers, which are almost a religious issue in this industry. The governor was talking earlier about the legislative package to save the industry. It's very important that we don't get the workers things straight. Now, there isn't any earthly way we can be saved. And it's just a matter of major, major concern. Very hard thing to work on. It's a difficult issue for Charlie. I will say that we have worked it out with all the other unions involved through collective bargaining with Bill Usry's and Jim Hodgson's efforts. We did work it out with the engineers on the precise issues that are up here. And we've got a problem protecting that agreement. We've got a problem working this thing out for the future. This time, I think, is one of the few times the industry has stood up and said, we're gonna fight this thing out in the traditional labor management way, take a strike, and see if we can't hold firm and get what we want. That's what we're trying to do.
Mr. Adams, you didn't truly represent the facts on it. You said all the rest of them, we're paying for the raises. You said the engineers are top of the totem pole. And a guarantee for them doesn't mean what it does for the man that's hired out here and been here 3 or 4 years.
I'm going to interject into this that it was not our purpose here
to negotiate.
Our purpose here has been to
demonstrate the concern the president has and everybody has of the impact of the strike, the cumulative impact of the strike. Be sure there's no misunderstanding about that. At the same time, to express our conviction, which the president has done so eloquently, in the three processes that are involved here, we want to see them work. Not only in this industry, but in other industries, they're very much on trial. They're on trial over there. They're in the hotel and the steel industry right now. Sure, I think we are close to that. So the free processes are very much